This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Wang Xiaoning. 7:36 a.m, Monday the 14th of December, which means that in half an hour or so, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Roshan, what's happening today?
Well, our dear Khoo Soo Chuang will be speaking with William Hon, CEO of BioAlpha, 5 years after its IPO. We're going to be checking in with them, the Bursa-listed health supplement company, because I think like a lot of other businesses, it's been disrupted by COVID-19. So Chuang will be discussing the path to recovery, its plans for overseas expansion, as well as an overall outlook for what 2020 looked like.
All right, that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned. But, you know, talking about wrapping up 2020, I think most of us are eager to put this COVID-19 crisis behind us, but it may not be so easy. And today we're looking at what the next year might look like, particularly for the United States. Because sure, vaccines are going to be more widely available in the next year. In fact, I mean, just over the weekend, the US FDA authorized the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine for emergency use. But rolling them out is still going to be a challenge, even though they should start administering them later today.
And the other thing is that the other thing that will affect the American economy significantly is whether Congress will pass another COVID-19 stimulus package. And finally, the incoming Biden administration will surely cause the US to make certain policy changes. So all of this is going to be top of mind when we look into 2021.
And for a view on what these factors might mean for U.S. markets as well as its economy, we're speaking to Ed Clissold, Chief U.S. Strategist at Ned Davis Research. Ed, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Now, the FDA has authorized the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine for emergency use. How does this change your asset allocation?
Well, we have been overweight equities and risk assets in general, and so this news doesn't change our asset allocation at the moment. I think it would have been more of a surprise if they had not approved the vaccine. That would have been a cause for risk off assets like bonds to outperform. But for now, this is progressing, I think, as most people expected it to happen.
And when we talk about this, right, so I think the sort of story here is that this vaccine news and optimism is priced in and baked into all the prices that we're seeing, especially asset prices. So is it too early now then, with all that in consideration, to look at the recovery plays in some of the sectors which have been quite hard hit by the pandemic, like aviation, tourism, and hospitality? What's your look at that, Ed?
If you have a time frame of looking out a few months to a couple of quarters, I think now is actually a good time to be looking at some of the hardest hit areas. They have started to outperform over the past several weeks. But if you look at where they were relative to the broad market, like the S&P 500 index, at the beginning of 2020, there is a lot of room for them to continue to rally before they'd even approach those levels. And also coming out of a recession, any kind of recession, these are the areas that tend to outperform, and they hadn't because of the unique nature of the COVID recession. So there's a typical cyclical rally that tends to take place that's been delayed. So I think there's room to go for these. Again, you know, you need to wait, have some patience for a few months for a few quarters, because they're probably going to be volatile along the way.
And Ed, meanwhile, also in the US, we've been seeing Joe Biden's cabinet picks being announced. Does that give you a sense of the kinds of sectors or companies that are poised to benefit under the incoming administration?
Well, I think the first thing to think about when it comes to Biden's picks is that he's going with experience. A lot of old Obama members of the administration, his Treasury Secretary, should be a familiar name, Janet Yellen, who was head of the Federal Reserve. And so I think the message is status quo rather than major changes. But one exception of that could be if he really pushes for big infrastructure spending. There's a lot of need for roads, bridges, airports, general transportation to be improved. And that could be one source of stimulus, which could lead for industrial sectors, financial sectors, to do very well if those were to be passed.
Oh, while we're talking about Congress and the potential for all the different stimulus packages, especially on the back of infrastructure spending, if it happens, though, Congress continues to be in deadlock over another stimulus package. How likely do you think it is for lawmakers to reach an accord here, Ed? What are you pricing into your base case?
Yeah, our base case is they get the minimum done. They pass some sort of legislation that enables those hardest hit by COVID to continue to get some of the benefits, but without some of the extras that were designed to help the broader economy. Those seem to be, there doesn't seem to be the political will for that to happen. Now, one challenge to that is that there's a runoff election in Georgia, actually two of them. If the Democrats win both of those in early January, they would actually control the Senate, which could change the dynamics. So that makes it a little bit harder for anything major to happen before the first week in January. So I think something does get done, but maybe not the really big things that some were hoping for.
So let's say the Democrats do clinch those two seats in Georgia. I mean, the odds here are probably against them. How would that change your look to 2021?
Yeah, I think that would increase the odds of some things Biden has signaled he wants to get done that could clearly get done. That would be, in particular, infrastructure spending. I think some of the tax increases that were proposed during the campaign would be much harder because there are still going to be Democrats who are going to be running for reelection in states that are Republican leaning, and they don't want to have a tax increase on their voting record. So I think it could lead to more stimulus, but not necessarily higher taxes in 2021.
So Ed, meanwhile, with the S&P 500 up 13% on a year-to-date basis, what upside can we expect here for next year?
I think the gains should be weaker, and that's typical in the second year of a cyclical bull market. So we're looking for about 8% gains next year. But I think what we want to be thinking about, though, is that maybe we have a very good start to the year on some of the promise of the vaccine rollout and some of the infrastructure spending items that we've been discussing. But the second half of the year could be tougher because once we start looking at 2022, the reality is going to be in the U.S., low economic growth, 2% real GDP growth, slower earnings growth. So maybe a stronger first half, weaker second half in 2021.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Ed. That was Ed Clissold, Chief U.S. Strategist at Ned Davis Research, with a look at what the U.S. economy is going to look like come 2021. And his expectation as well for the S&P is for about 8% in gains next year. First half slightly better than the second half. Xiaoning, what are some of your thoughts following that conversation with Ed?
Well, I think what's interesting is that he highlighted that there's probably going to be quite a bit of infrastructure spend in the US, so benefiting the industrial sector and finance sector. But whether he can push through that agenda, I guess also depends very heavily on whether they will win the Georgia races, which is happening on the first week of January. So interesting times ahead for the US economy, actually.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, you know, when we talk about the vaccines and things like that, a lot of it's already priced in, right? So it's any surprises that will get us a bit of unexpected changes in the market. So if the vaccine hadn't rolled out, then you'll see the situation. Then you would have seen a different type of reaction from the market.
Yeah, but he also highlighted the importance of patience when it comes to investing, right? Because he says even if you're rotating into some of the sectors which have been bashed down because of COVID-19, it's not going to be a straight path up to price recovery. So along the way, you're going to see choppy price movement, but I guess his point is in the medium to long term, you can still make money in those sectors.
Yeah, he talked about time frame. It depends on the time frame that you have. So that's going to be interesting to play, to see. And let's see how it goes out. And let's see what Janet Yellen does as Treasury Secretary. I think she's very pro fiscal stimulus.
Yes, indeed. So hopefully we will start to see more out of the US on that front. But right now we are about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Jahaba Sadiq, editor at the Malaysian Insight, on Warisan potentially entering Peninsula Malaysia. Stay tuned for that conversation after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.